The Passover feast was instituted by the Lord back in Exodus 12, because that's what pertained to, that's what they need, that was the time they had to have the Passover. Why is it called that? Passover. Who was passing over whom and for what reason? Well, this had to do with the 10th plague that God brought on Egypt. We know there were the 10 plagues that the Lord brought on Egypt during Moses' time. Now, with the first 9, after they were finished, what happened to Pharaoh's heart and what was the result? Yes, he hardened his heart. Now, it's interesting to see the phrasing. It will say Pharaoh hardened his heart, and then sometimes it will mention the Lord hardened his heart, and we might say, well, which one was it? Well, what does that mean? Well, that means Pharaoh had his role in hardening his heart, but did God also work in his heart as he was doing that? Yes. Well, that's the opposite of, but the same pattern that we just saw in 2 Chronicles chapter 29, when the people, when they softened their hearts to respond to Hezekiah's encouragement, to turn back to the Lord and do these things that were right and set them back in order according to God's commandment, and when they softened their hearts to turn that way, what did God do anything with their hearts to work on their hearts in that direction when that was the way that they, the steps that they were taking and was in the right direction? Well, yes, they did something, and then God did something in response. Did God make the people do what was righteous against their own will? No. If that's what he was going to do, then why didn't he do that when Ahaz was king? They were hardening their hearts then. But now when they were softening their hearts and humbling themselves, then God worked in their hearts to encourage that. Well, when Pharaoh, the Lord's enemy, hardened his heart, did God do any work there at the same time? Was God putting him under his footstool as his enemy? He was. So we see that pattern of work of God. What we yield ourselves to God to do, he's going to work on us, and whether that's in a positive or a negative way. But that's his response to us. I mean, can we blame God then for... I mean, could Pharaoh blame God for who Pharaoh was? Or... Was it Pharaoh's decision not to glorify God as God? Well, we go back to chapter 5 when he says, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? I will not let the people go. I mean, that was his attitude towards God. Who is God to tell me anything? Well, how much work in making Pharaoh be righteous can God do with that? But anyway, although those first 9 plagues, Pharaoh hardened his heart, and he didn't let the people go. Well, was that of God? Was it God's will, and part of that reason why God was also working in there on a heart that was evil to make sure that Pharaoh continued to defy God, to allow all these plagues to take place to make his wonders known so that all the world would know who he was? And he says that, of course. He wanted everybody to know who he was, and that would be known by all these wondrous works that he did. And so how many people today on earth have heard of the 10 plagues of Egypt? Even if they can't name what the plagues were, even if they have no idea that they're either in the Bible or where in the Bible they're found. I mean, how many people have heard of the 10 plagues? that's famous. I mean, that it, like the flood, like in Noah's Ark and the parting of the Red Sea. I mean, there's some of those Bible events, Sodom and Gomorrah. There's some of those Bible events that are commonly known among men, even people that don't know a thing about the Bible at all. God made those events famous and did so for a reason. He wanted people to remember those things. It's interesting how through all of these thousands of years that has persisted, but that's according to the will of God. And so that was all involved here. But with the 10th plague, what was it? And this was going to be the one that finally would end up with God's people being let go from their bondage in Egypt. Of course, that was the plague of the killing of all the firstborn in Egypt, of man and beast. And the angel of the Lord was being sent to accomplish that plague on Egypt. Well, were the children of Israel going to lose all their firstborn too? Or would the angel of the Lord pass over their houses and spare them? Well, the angel of the Lord would do that, provided they obeyed the Lord's commandment, which involved the killing of the Passover lamb and then this putting of the blood of that lamb over the doors of their house, so that the angel of the Lord would pass over. Why did the Lord choose that particular means to be the way in which that destruction would pass over them? And the Lord chose that with intent. As we know, I mean, that was a foreshadowing of what and whom. I mean, who's our Passover lamb? By the shedding of whose blood are we redeemed from bondage and spared from eternal destruction? I mean, Christ. So God chose what would be a shadow of his son coming. And in that sense, the observance of the Passover, what that had to do with, was a shadow of what observance that we do every week as the Lord's body. I mean, when the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper, what was it that what was the occasion in which he instituted the Lord's Supper that involved unleavened bread? That was one of the emblems of the observance of the Passover. It so happens that's one of the emblems on the Lord's Supper. I mean, the Passover in that sense was a shadow of the Lord's Supper. Why did he choose unleavened bread? Well, they were in a hurry. There was an urgency to get out of Egypt, but he told them to use unleavened bread. But we know that was a shadow of, because that's what Christ used in the observance of the Passover with his apostles in that upper room on his last night on the earth. But what do we, 1 Corinthians 5, what does he say about Christ? I mean, Christ was unleavened. There was no leaven of wickedness in him. It was only the love of God and all of the parts of his Father's nature that was in him, nothing else. And so when we see Christ and we look at his example that he set, and what happened in his death as he demonstrates all of that, I mean, we can see the heart of Christ, and that he was fully unleavened. When we partake of the bread and we're supposed to remember his body, but it's signified by that unleavened bread, we're also commanded to examine ourselves. Aren't we supposed to be looking within ourselves? Do we have leaven in us? In terms of, are there things there that are in our heart that need purging out so that we are like Christ, who was unleavened? I mean, there's a reason for that particular emblem. Just like the blood that's symbolized by the cup of the fruit of the vine, the blood of the shedding of the Passover lamb in the actual Passover, but then we know that Christ is referred to as our Passover lamb, and we're to remember the shedding of his blood and what that means to us. And again, there's that self-examination part to that. So there's shadows there that pertain to what was ultimately fulfilled through Christ. But the Passover was instituted in Exodus chapter 12, and the children of Israel were commanded to observe that feast, and that was to be followed yearly in Israel. In Exodus chapter 12, verses 43 through 51, the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, "This is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof, but every man's servant that is bought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. A foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall you break a bone thereof. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee, and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it, and he shall be as one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. One law shall be to him that is homeborn and unto the stranger that sojourneth among you." Thus did all the children of Israel as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass the selfsame day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies. So this was something that was instituted this was the first month. In fact, the Lord chose this to be the first month at the beginning of chapter 12. This was their birth as a nation, as a separate nation. They already had the numbers that God had promised. They had become great in number, like the Lord had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that they were a nation that was as the sand of the seashore, stars in the sky for multitude. That was the reason the Egyptians brought them under bondage, because they were afraid they were going to be outnumbered by the Israelites that were dwelling in their land, and so they decided to make them their slaves to keep them from ultimately being conquered by this other nation that was dwelling among them that was a threat to outnumber them. But because they were still in Egypt and they were under the dominion of the Egyptians, they were not yet a distinct independent nation. Well, they were given birth as such by the exodus from from Egypt and from their bondage there. And so that's why God chose that month where this happens to be the first month of their calendar. So that's why, and that's why the Passover was the first feast of the year in the first month. So this was what was done on this occasion in Exodus chapter 12. And he starts the chapter with the beginning of the months and the keeping of the Passover. Let's look at Exodus chapter 34 very quickly, as before we run out of time here. But Exodus 34, 23 through 25. He says, "Thrice in the year shall all your men children appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. For I will cast out the nations before thee and enlarge thy borders. Neither shall any man desire thy land when thou shalt go up to appear before the Lord thy God thrice in the year. Thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leaven, neither shall the sacrifice of the feast of the Passover be left unto the morning." So he starts with the Passover again there, but there were those were the three feasts: the Passover, the Feast of Weeks or Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Leviticus chapter 23, verses 1 through 5. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, Concerning the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest. So a holy convocation, you shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. These are the feasts of the Lord. even holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their seasons. And the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. So the Passover was the 14th day of that first month, followed by the 7 days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, beginning on that 15th day of the month. So the Lord specified that, and that was the day they did it in Egypt in Exodus 12, and that's what was to be kept as a memorial. So he repeats that there. And in Numbers chapter 28 and verse 16, he says, in the 14th day of the first month is the Passover of the Lord. So he says it again plainly there. And then we have Deuteronomy chapter 16, Deuteronomy 16, 1 through 8. Observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover unto the Lord thy God. For in the month of Abib, the Lord thy God brought thee forth out of Egypt by night. Thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto the Lord thy God, of the flock of the herd, and the place which the Lord shall choose to place his name there. Thou shalt eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread therewith, even the bread of affliction, for thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that thou mayest remember the day when thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of thy life. And there shall be no leavened bread seen with thee in all thy coasts 7 days, neither shall there any anything of the flesh which thou sacrificest of the first day at even remain all night into the morning. Thou mayest not sacrifice the Passover within any of thy gates which the Lord thy God give thee, but at the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name in, there thou shalt sacrifice the Passover at even, at the going down of the sun, at the season that thou camest forth out of Egypt. And thou shalt roast and eat it in the place which the Lord thy God shall choose, and thou shalt turn in the morning and go into thy tents. 6 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day shall be a solemn assembly to the Lord thy God. Thou shalt do no work therein. In the book of Numbers, we find in chapter 9 the observance of the Passover explained, and including the one exception that we're going to see become relevant or pertinent in the situation in with Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles chapter 30. Numbers chapter 9, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, now this is year 2, so this is the second Passover. The first one was in year 1 when they were there. So he says, let the children of Israel also keep the Passover at his appointed season. And the 14th day of this month at even, you shall keep it in his appointed season according to all the rites of it. And according to all the ceremonies thereof shall you keep it. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel that they should keep the Passover. And they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month and the even in the wilderness of Sinai according to all that the Lord commanded Moses. So did the children of Israel. And there were certain men who were defiled by the dead body of a man, that they could not keep the Passover on that day. And they came in before Moses and before Aaron on that day. And these men said unto him, we are defiled by the dead body of a man. Wherefore are we kept back, that we may not offer any offering to the Lord at his appointed season among the children of Israel? And Moses said unto them, stand still, and I will hear what the Lord will command concerning you. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if any man of you or of your posterity shall be unclean by reason of a dead body, or be in a journey afar off, yet shall he keep the Passover unto the Lord. The 14th day of the second month, at even, shall they keep it, and eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall leave none of it unto the morning, nor break any bone of it, according to all the ordinances of the Passover, they shall keep it. But the man that is clean and is not in a journey and forbeareth to keep the Passover, even the same soul shall be cut off from among his people because he brought not the offering of the Lord in his appointed season. That man shall bear his sin. And if a stranger shall sojourn among you and will keep the Passover unto the Lord according to the ordinance of the Passover and according to the manner thereof, so shall he do. He shall have one. You shall have one ordinance both for the stranger and for him that was born in the land. So we can see that exception was given where the Lord would allow for the Passover to be kept on the second month, on the 14th day of the month. That was the one exception. That's going to come up here in Numbers chapter, or 2 Chronicles chapter 30 with King Hezekiah. Without the Lord authorizing that 1 month delay, if Hezekiah had done so, would he have been right or wrong? Well, he'd have been wrong. He would have been doing something God didn't authorize if he had brought it, done something at a time that God had not authorized. But he's not going to do that. So when we see it kept on in the middle of the second month, Second Chronicles 30, we'll understand why. And that did have God's authorization there in Numbers chapter 9. We're going to stop there, and let's go to our Heavenly Father now in prayer as we close.